Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
I was reading one of Daddy wrote a book on ecclesiology, doctrines of the church and all, and I read some this morning looking at things. And there's a difference between the church and the kingdom, a much difference between the church and the kingdom. And he talked about Jesus Christ being king. And we know overall that he is king. I mean, he's the ruler, he's the sovereign. But he doesn't yet have that office of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One day Jesus will take that position, if you will, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the millennial reign of Christ. So Jesus Christ has that threefold office work: prophet, priest, and king. Past, present, future. Are you following? Okay, that's a whole different category, okay? Melchizedek is the only person in Scripture who also fulfilled that role as prophet, priest, and king. Nobody else ever filled that role. He was a perfect example of Jesus Christ, yet he was man, very man. Okay, back to Genesis chapter number 14. I want you to see this. Already in Hebrews 7, verse number 1, we see he was the king. Number 2, he was a priest. In Genesis 14, we get where he was a prophet. Because look in verse number 19. And he, Melchizedek, blessed him, Abram, before God had made those promises to Abraham. Before God had said anything to Abraham about his seed and the righteousness and the covenant that he'd made with Abraham, Melchizedek said this: blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. He was a prophet. Not only was he a priest and king, he's also a prophet. He told Abram before he became Abraham that you're going to be possessor of all heaven and all of earth. And that we see it fulfilled in the next couple of chapters of Genesis chapter number 15 and all. It's interesting that you can see that. Abraham became the father of a multitude of nations. Matter of fact, that's what Abraham means. The word Abram means exalted father. God changed the name from Abram, exalted father, to Abraham, which means father of a multitude, what he just told him in verse number 19. It's interesting. Melchizedek was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. His name, the King of Righteousness. His position, he ruled in Salem, the King of Peace. He had the office of a priest. And like Christ, I want you to notice this. I wrote this one down. I'm going to move on. Just like Christ, notice Melchizedek came to Abram. Abram didn't go to Melchizedek. Do you know Christ came to us? I know we go to him. But before we go to him, he's come to us. He wooed us unto himself. There's a song out there, and I won't dare sing it, but the name of the song is He Came to Me. He came to me. He came to me. Watermelon. He came to me. The thought was, he came to me first. When we were in our sins and we were unable to go, he came. Now, I'm not a Calvinist, but before anybody can get saved, there must be the drawing of the Holy Spirit. You do not get saved anytime you want to get saved. The Holy Spirit must be doing a work in that individual. He comes to you. He draws you unto himself. So we see that in that picture there, Melchizedek came to Abram as Christ comes to us. And then notice in verse number 2, Hebrews chapter number 7. Hey, my throat's getting better. Y'all keep praying. Keep working on your sermons, fellas, though, just in case, okay? All right, look in verse number 2. To whom Abraham also gave a tenth part a tenth part. It's interesting. The word tenth means tithe. And I want you to notice that the tithe here that's mentioned, the tenth, preceded the giving of the law in Mount Sinai. People talk about the tithe all, well, that's under the law. No, way before the tithe was given under the law, Abram gave unto Melchizedek a tenth part, a tithe. Interesting. There's a pattern here. Abram gave a tithe to the priest Melchizedek. We're expected to give our tithes to our great high priest, Jesus Christ. As Abram gave tithes to the high priest, or that priest, Melchizedek, we give our, you don't give your tithes to me. We talk about bringing your tithes to the church. I understand the thought, but really we're giving it to God. That's who it goes to. Our tithes is of the Lord. It belongs to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, while you're there in Hebrews 7, look in verse number 4, tithe is mentioned. Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. By the way, let me jump ahead of myself. The word spoils literally means to take it off the top, to take it off the heap. The spoils. It's not what's left over. It's the first. Amen, preacher. What does that mean? That means you give your first to the Lord. Not after it gives out, not after you take out your taxes, not after you take out workers' comp, not after you take all these other things, insurance and all, and then what's left, well, whatever's left, then I tithe. No. Are y'all following? You give off the top of the heap. The very top. Well, preacher, I just can't make it if I tithe off the top and whatever's left, then I give. Then you're not tithing. I wish I could hang there for a while, okay? I can't afford to tithe. My friend, you can't afford not to give to the Lord. Abram gave the top. We ought to give. Let me give you an illustration. I may get some flack from this. Say you make $1,000 a week. Y'all, a lot of y'all out there are rich, okay? Y'all make $1,000. I'm just playing round numbers, okay? Do you know a tithe would be $100? I can't afford it. What happens out of the tithe, then, or out of the $1,000, Uncle Sam gets a good chunk of it. How much? I don't know what it is. You know, I don't know. But they get a good chunk of it. Social Security, blah, 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 you know, all that. Then you don't have your $1,000. You may have $700 and something. You have insurance. All of these things you're paying. I understand. And you're down to $500. Well, I'm going to give the Lord $50. You didn't tithe. Tithe is the $100. That's a whole other thing. That's what the meaning of the word tithe means. It means off the top. One-tenth. You can't get around it. And by the way, I was talking to somebody two, three weeks ago about, you know, tithe is fair for everybody, whether you're a millionaire or you're a pauper, across the board. If you only make $100 a week, a tithe is $10. If you make $1,000 a week, like some of y'all rich folk, that's $100. Okay? You get the point. Tithe, let me move on. I got so much here. But it means off the top. He gave a tithe. Then look at, now we get to verse number 3. Here's where all the confusion is. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor the end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. The key word here in verse number 3 is the word like. Like. The word like literally means, I wrote that down somewhere. Okay, it means like a facsimile copy or a model, being made similar to. It's not Christ. He's like unto Christ in that he's prophet, he's priest, and he's king. Melchizedek was not Christ pre-incarnate. He was a real man. He was a real king. He was a real priest in a real city. Here, Melchizedek, now get this. I wrote this down. I'll read it so you don't get confused. Here, Melchizedek is a picture of Christ and a type of Christ. So why did God leave the genealogy of Melchizedek out of this? Why is that so important? Well, because Melchizedek was to be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and his priesthood.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.